The vision for the church. You remember last week I said that this week we're going to veer off of what our normal course of teaching is as we're moving through the Gospel of Luke, looking at the life of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about the vision for the church, and specifically the vision for this church, Touchstone Christian Fellowship. And that is a weighty and intimidating subject, at least for me. Because when I hear the word vision, I immediately think that it has to be something big. It has to be something world-shaking. It has to be something grand and amazing. And I think of the lab mouse Brain from the cartoon, Pinky and the Brain. Brain had vision. You might recall, this is just about how every episode started, with Pinky asking Brain, "What are we going to do tonight, Brain?" And Brain would say, "The same thing we do every night, Pinky. We're going to take over the world." That was one of my favorite cartoons. It was a sad day when they took it off the air, I thought. They don't recognize genius. Now, Brain, he was not always very successful at carrying out his vision to take over the world, which is fortunate for the rest of us, actually. But that mouse had vision. That's one thing that we have got to say about him. He had vision. I've been really nervous about talking about the vision for this church. One of the thoughts that went through my head was, the vision has got to be big. It has to be world-shaking. It has to be grand and amazing. And then I would consider the core of our vision, and I would think, it's not big enough. It's not world-shaking enough. It's not grand and amazing enough. Brain would think I'm pathetic. But then I would begin to think about it more deeply, and I realize that the core vision really is big. It really is world-shaking. It really is grand and amazing. Here's the core vision of Touchstone, and it's quoted directly from our website. "Touchstone Christian Fellowship is a community of followers of Jesus Christ. We seek to live out in our time and culture the teachings and examples he gave us and to share his message of hope with others. We welcome everyone, regardless of their place along life's path." Now, on the surface, that might not sound like much at all. But if we could live it out in all of its fullness, it is big. It is world-changing. It is grand and amazing. To be a community of people who follow Jesus Christ, who live out in our time and our culture the teachings and examples given to us by Jesus Christ, to share his message of hope with others, to be open to any and all humanity, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, what color they are, what culture they grew up in, no matter how broken or damaged they are. That is all that God wants us to be. And there is no higher vision for any person than to fulfill God's will and plan for them. Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Church often says that the local church is the hope of the world. And it is. The local church, when it is being what God intends for it to be, is the hope of the world. Unfortunately, the word church has been gutted and devalued to such an extent over the years that we can dismiss it as next to nothing. When it is the very institution that God himself created and placed in this world to work through to redeem and transform humanity. To be a church is a grand vision indeed. It is as grand a vision as any person has ever taken up. In one sense, our vision is as big as, and it's the same as, Brain's vision, to take over the world. Because we want to see the kingdom of God fill all of the world. We want to see the grace and the redemption and the transforming power of God touch every human being in this world. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 is the mission statement for this church. And if you have your weekly bulletin, you can turn to the very last page. And it's quoted right there, this passage of Scripture. It says, "It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The Scripture that we just read, it states the core values and intents and objectives that are the foundation of this church. Now, we don't have time today to go into everything that this passage talks about in detail, but I do want to talk about some of the key ideas and concepts first. I want us to see in verse 12 that the responsibility of the pastor is to prepare God's people for works of service. And second, I want us to see that this same verse says that the people of God are to be doing works of service. These ideas are repeated and then expanded upon throughout the passage. Now, I've tried to think of a modern-day analogy to describe the pastor's role in the church, and here's what I've come up with, and I think it captures the idea pretty well. According to the Bible, the pastor is to be like a coach. He leads and he prepares the team for the game. This is the pastor's work of service. He's not to be the only person on the playing field. The entire team is supposed to be on the playing field in the game. Try to imagine the absurdity of having the coach of a football team on the field playing in the game and all the players not just on the sideline sitting on the bench, but actually sitting up in the grandstand spectating, watching the coach play the game, cheering him on, rather than on the field themselves playing the game. That would be crazy indeed, wouldn't it? And I can assure you that a football team functioning like that is not going to do very well. It's doubtful that they'll win any games at all. And they will eventually fail. Unfortunately, this is the mentality of many people who attend church. And there's nothing, and I underline the word nothing, there is nothing biblical about that kind of church model. It might be a cultural model of church, but it is not a biblical model of church. Let me give you another example. Church is not to be like one of these tour buses heading up the hill, with the pastor playing the role of the bus driver, driving the bus along, and all of the other members of the church being the passengers, all kicking back, enjoying the ride, chatting and sipping drinks as they're heading up the hill to Reno. Again, there is nothing biblical about that kind of church model. So to say it again, according to the Bible, the pastor's job is to prepare God's people for the works of service that God has prepared for His people to do. There are not to be any passengers or spectators in the church. There are to be no passengers or spectators in the church. We all have something to do. We all have something we can do. We all have something that we should be doing. And what's the result of all of God's people engaged in works of service? Verse 12, it says, the body of Christ may be built up. That Greek word that's translated built up, it's a construction term just like it sounds here. To be built up, it refers to that process of fulfilling the plans and the intent of the designer or the architect. God has a plan for each of us individually and together. And when we are being built up, it means that we are fulfilling God's plans for us. We are becoming what He intended us to be. Verse 13, it says, we all will reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In verse 15 it says, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And then in the last verse, verse 16, it says, from him Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. See, the same core idea is repeated again in this last verse. Each part of the body of Christ must do its work in order for the whole body of Christ to grow and be built up. Every single one of us who are a part of the church has a responsibility to the rest of the church. When any one of us is not doing our part in the church, it hurts all of us. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ. And Paul uses that analogy of body to illustrate how we are interdependent on and with each other. If one of us succeeds, we all succeed. And if one of us fails, we all fail. In Romans 12:5, Paul goes so far as to say this, that each member belongs to all the others. This is the biblical view of the church. And this is the kind of church that we intend to have here at Touchstone. It's the example of the early church. In Acts chapter 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done among the apostles, or by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One of our most basic visions for this church is to see every believer in this church engaged in ministry on some level, using your gifts and your talents and your interests and your energies to bless and serve others and to glorify Christ with your life. God designed and intended the church to be primarily a volunteer organization. That is God's design and intent for the church. The power of the church is realized when everyone in the church is offering their life and their gifts and their resources to God through the church to work out God's redemptive plan in the world. And unless this part of the vision of the church is being realized, the rest of the vision, no matter what it is, no matter how grand it might sound, no matter what it might be, it cannot become a reality. It is that important. And that's why we talk about that first before we talk about anything else. That we must all be engaged in the works of service that God has called us to. I want to talk about the priority of children. Children were a priority for Jesus, and they need to be a priority for us too. In Mark 10:13, for example, the story is told about Jesus. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. It's like, hey, you know, you can't be bringing these little ones to, you know, a big important Messiah like Jesus. I mean, he's got a whole world to save. He doesn't have time for the little kids. What are you doing? Back of the line, bud. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. Now when I use the word children, I mean children of all ages, from birth until they're adults. I mean babies, I mean preschoolers, I mean primary grade kids, I mean upper elementary kids, I mean junior hires, I mean high schoolers, and I mean young college students. I mean all of them. Children are the future. And one of the single most important and significant ways that we can impact the future of this world is through our children. And to that end, We want the children of our church to be healthy, whole human beings who love Jesus Christ with all their hearts. We want to do all that we can to help our children become the influencers and the leaders in this world. We want our church to have an effective outreach to the children of this city, to draw them into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they will become the kind of influencers and leaders that glorify God. For this to happen, we need the adults of our church to take hold of this vision and invest themselves into fulfilling it. One of the things that saddens me more than almost anything else in this church is when I have to stand up here and make an announcement for help with children's ministry repeatedly for weeks at a time because no one is responding. Our children are something that I pray to God will be such a priority for all of us that people in this church will be competing to get a shot, to be part and to participate in the children's ministry here. Our kids should never go wanting for adults who are willing to give of themselves to help them learn about and fall in love with Jesus and become all that God wants them to be, both now and as adults. Some of you have perhaps thought, well, you know, I don't really know anything about kids, so I don't think I have anything to offer. I have not been trained in that area. I don't know what I'm doing. Let me ask you two questions. First, were you a kid once yourself? And number two, do you love Jesus? If you answer yes to both of those questions, then you are qualified. And you have something to offer the children of this church. Now, I recognize that not everyone is gifted as a teacher or a storyteller or a crafts planner or a puppeteer. But every one of us can offer ourselves and our love and our encouragement to our children. I challenge everyone who can hear my voice to prayerfully seek God about how He wants you to serve the children of this church. Some other areas beyond the children's ministry on Sundays. We're planning to do another Puppets and Stuff event again this year here in the park in August. And it was a great outreach to the families and the children of the local community here. Last year, we gave out over 100 backpacks with school supplies to kids in this neighborhood who came to the park that Saturday. And there were a number of you that helped out and were part of this, and you know just how awesome it was. It was beautiful. We're hoping to have an even larger turnout this year, and I would ask that you please start praying now about how you would like to be involved in that outreach. And let the children's ministry leadership people here at the church know how you would like to be involved so that they can begin to even now plug you in and plan on how they're going to use you. I'd like to see our church do many more things like that. Reaching out, seeking to connect and engage the children of our community. Our church is almost literally across the street from American River College. And it drives me nearly nuts to think that we have not done a single thing on that campus to connect with the students there. We need to reach out to those students on that campus. I believe that's one of the reasons why we are here, located here. American River College is one of the 10 largest community colleges in the entire state of California, with a current enrollment of about 34,000 students, which makes it the largest college in this city. It's bigger than Sac State by several thousand students. I'm praying that God will touch the hearts of some of you here with a vision for reaching out to that campus. I cannot do it by myself. I'd like to see a mentoring program for young people started in our church where they can learn to be godly men and women through the interaction with older men and women. There is a huge number of young men today, for example, who have grown up without the influence of a real father in their life. And this has had significant impact on the kind of people that these young men are becoming. For example, 85% of the men in prison today came from fatherless homes. Think about that. 85% of the men who are in prison right now came from homes without a father. Because they don't know what it's even like to be a man. They don't know what a man looks like. What a man behaves like. Young women can benefit from mentoring from older women too. In fact, did you know that that's one of the things that older women in the church are specifically commanded to do? In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. This idea is something that I'd like to see carried out in our church in a deliberate, intentional way. There are many broken families in our culture, and one way that we can help future families from going down that same road is by mentoring our young people. Now, this is only a vision at this point, and we are a long way from stepping into it. I don't even know exactly how to start it. I only know that it needs to be done. Missions. Sending people from the local church on missions to other locations is something that the church has been doing since the earliest days of the church. Paul and Barnabas, for example, they were sent out by their church in Antioch to spread the gospel to other parts of the Mediterranean region. Acts chapter 13. We've sent some of the people from our church to other places on missions this last year on short-term mission trips. You might recall that we sent a team of people into the south to help with Katrina hurricane relief. We also sent a team of people to Nicaragua to minister there among children. Here's the vision. I would like to see every able-bodied person in our church go on at least one short-term mission trip. I'd like to see every single able-bodied person in our church go on at least one mission trip in their life. And the sooner the better. These trips are life-changing for the people who go on them. It gives you a perspective about how God is working all over the world in people's lives. It grows your faith. You learn dependency on God. You are humbled. You take fewer things for granted. It makes you a better human being. It matures your character. You walk closer to God. And I would like everyone in our church to have the opportunity to experience that. And a short-term mission trip is a great way to do it. See, going on a mission that lasts a year or even 6 months, it's not even in the realm of possibility for many of us. We can't hang up our life for that long. But taking 2 or 3 weeks is a possibility for most of us. It's similar to the time that we would take for a vacation. And this kind of vacation will have a lasting value on our soul that most of the vacations we have will never have. So I ask you to commit some serious, honest prayer to this kind of thing for you. And pray for God to raise up the right leadership in this church to develop this kind of program. We don't have time to talk a lot about small groups this morning, but I would like to say, get into one. Get into a small group. Restricting your spiritual life to attendance at church on Sunday mornings does not knit you into the body of Christ. You need to connect on a more personal level with other believers. Something that's related to small groups. that I would like to develop and implement to help people in our church network with others who share common interests is to start interest groups. These would be groups of almost any kind imaginable for people who share a particular interest. For example, there could be a group of people who enjoy watching and discussing movies. There could be a group of people who enjoy skiing or rafting or fly fishing or knitting or cooking or writing music or 100 other things. I believe this kind of thing is a great way for people to connect with others, to develop new friendships, and also to cast your net into the culture. Because these things are things that you can draw and invite friends and neighbors and people you know into. It's part of that outer circle, and you draw them into closer and closer to the center over time. It needs to be developed. There needs to be a system for people to network, and there needs to be some basic procedures and ground rules put down so that people are conducting themselves in a Christ-honoring way in these groups. Let's talk about church facilities for a moment. I regularly get asked by people what our plans are for a building. I'm not quite sure why. I mean, we're in a building. But I don't think that we are in a financial position at this point to try to go out and get a building large enough to house our Sunday morning worship services for adults and children. Currently, this park is serving us well, and the rent that we pay here is lower than we could hope to get elsewhere in the city for this kind of space. It's very economical, the place that we have here. So we don't anticipate moving in the next couple of years. This is something that obviously we can't know for certain. God could cause the church to grow significantly in the near future, and we would have to move. But there are things that we can do here to continue to stay here and accommodate a whole lot more folks. Ideally, I'd like to put off a move from here until we have a regular Sunday attendance in the neighborhood of about 400 people. So, you want to move? Better get busy. Bringing people to church. The biggest negative associated with our current location is having to set up and take down our operation every Sunday. But you know, this is not as bad as it might seem. And there are some really great benefits that we have here at the park. I mean, I know there are a number of parents that appreciate having the big playground out there to work a little steam off their children before they try to load them back in the car and take them home after church. We have a great place here for church barbecues when it's not raining. And I like the idea of having church in a public place like this. It's what the first Christians did in Jerusalem. Remember, they met in the temple courts. They met in Solomon's colonnade, it says in Acts 5:12, which was a public gathering place of the time. That's where they had their church. Now, what we are in a financial position to consider doing at this time is to expand our church office and midweek ministry facilities. And we're currently actually looking at obtaining a larger office space that will provide us a place for having larger group get-togethers, meetings, worship opportunities during the week. See, currently, and some of you may not even know this, we're renting 1,000 square feet of office space along Auburn Boulevard near here, which is where our church office is located. And at that same location, we have a single meeting room which can accommodate about a dozen people comfortably at a time. And it's used for all kinds of things during the week. Prayer meetings, training meetings, small group meetings. It even has the youth Bible study meeting there on Wednesday night. Unfortunately, we're at capacity and we're running out of space to do things. It's really not hard to even believe that, is it? That we have a single room that can accommodate about a dozen people for a gathering. We're hoping to obtain about 2,500 square feet of office space near the same location, which would provide office space for the church and also a couple of meeting rooms, one even large enough that could hopefully accommodate 60 or more people. So the idea is this, that we provide a facility large enough to house all of the midweek ministry type activities of the church and continue to rent the park facility here for that larger Sunday crowd. And that way, we're not having to pay monthly rent for square footage that's being used for only a few hours once a week by leasing some large facility. Finally, I want to talk about the financial support of the church. I want to read from our weekly bulletin. It's on the, I guess, page 3, we'd call it, under About This Church, or About the Church, under Offerings. It says, we do not take an offering collection during the service. There are offering boxes available for those who want to worship God in this way and contribute to this ministry. This church cannot continue without the financial support of its members, and it is the responsibility of all of the members to be involved in this very important part of worship and sharing. At the same time, we do not want anything to distract a person's attention from a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. If you do not consider yourself a member of this church yet, please do not feel obligated in any way to give. You are our guest, and we're glad you're here. This represents our position regarding giving and financially supporting the church, but let me unpack it a little bit for you. First, we never want money to be a distraction that gets in the way of people having a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. We want to help people enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to do everything that we can to remove anything that might prevent them from doing that. And because of the very negative association that exists between church and money in the minds of many people in our day, we have chosen to not have the active collection of money be a part of the regular worship services at this church. In other words, we do not pass offering plates or bags or baskets or whatever else as part of the worship service. Now, this is the traditional approach used by the majority of churches in this country, and we certainly do not fault any of those churches for that or consider it wrong. We simply have a different vision for how this church is to be supported. Instead, we have what you might call a passive system, which means we have offering boxes which people can use for making contributions to this church. And this is actually the way that offerings were collected in the times of Jesus in the early church. Passing plates and bags and things is actually a more modern invention of churches. If you've attended Touchstone for any length of time, you will know that I rarely even make mention of the offering boxes, much less talk about money. We don't do that here. But it's important that everyone realize that just because we have a passive system for collecting money, and I don't talk about money very often in the church services, it doesn't mean that this church does not need to be financially supported in order for it to survive and grow. This church has as much of a need financially as any other church. Just as much. Giving of our financial means to the Lord is an important part of our worship of Him. It expresses our dependence upon the Lord. It expresses His lordship in our life. It expresses our recognition and acknowledgement that all we have comes from the Lord and that He owns us and all that we have are His. Giving is an important part of sharing in the work of the church. When we give to our church, we participate in all that goes on at our church, and we share in the rewards and the fruits of that. Giving is an important part of sharing with one another, pooling our resources together to accomplish what we could not do individually. And it is one of our responsibilities to one another that we share in the carrying the load of the church. The Lord has blessed each one of us differently. And this is why we're told in the scripture to give in proportion to our means. We're not all expected to give the same amount to the church. Instead, we are to give our fair share in proportion to our means. See, in the same way that we need the active involvement and participation of everyone in the church in order for all of us to be all that God intends us to be, it's true of our giving too. We need each other to give our fair share financially in order for there to be enough for us to do and be all that God wants us and intends us to be. I've mentioned a number of things today which cannot be done without financial support. If you believe in the vision of this church, I am asking you to become an active and consistent supporter of this church financially. Now, some of you already are, and I sincerely thank you for your generous sharing, and I'm not asking you to give another thing. I'm not asking you to give more. Those of you who are sharing your fair share, thank you. But I am challenging and I am encouraging the rest of the body of Christ here to follow your example so that we can all benefit and carry out the works that God has prepared for us to do as a church. In closing this morning, I want to say that we have not talked about everything today. We've only really scratched the surface and hit a few high points. And the vision of our church continues to develop and expand over time, and it always will and should. And this is really the last thought I want to leave you with. That our church must always remain flexible and open to change. That it's vital that we remain relevant to the culture and the time that we're living in. See, we seek to express the timeless, eternal truth of Jesus Christ in ways that communicate and always communicate with the ever-changing, shifting world that God has put us in. That's our call. Speak eternal truth into today's world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church that you have raised up, and we thank you that we each can be a part of the church that you have raised up here. Lord, I pray for every single one of us that you would inspire us, then you would move us, Lord, to be full participants in the church. That we would be on the field, in the game. That we would share with each other energy, talent, money, everything. That we are one body, one family, and we succeed and we fail together. And we look to you as our Lord, as the one who empowers and provides and strengthens and accomplishes great things. God, bless your people here. Bless each one. May you bless this church. May you use it always to glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.